Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your voice for radio wellness here in Imperial County. We've been bringing you the show for over a dozen years now, and each week it's something to help wellness in our county. You guys know the routine. If you're longtime listeners, welcome back. If you're new listeners, this is the routine. You listen to the show, and when you're hearing the show, you think about that special person in your life that really needs to hear the show. And what you do is you go to Let's Talk About It, KXOradio.com, click on Let's Talk About It, and the show will be available as a podcast. You may be listening to the podcast right now. And you take that podcast and you do what we do with stuff in computer land, and then you copy the link and then you send it. And you can send it personal by, you know, text or messenger or whatever, or you could even put it public on your Facebook and say, hey, everybody, you know, all my friends need to hear this show because this is an important show. And that's how you bring wellness to our community, you know, because we are one little voice, but that takes the people to spread the voice, to make it real in our community. And we thank you for that, because I know you guys are doing it, because we get 1500 downloads a month on this show, and it's all local people. We the IP addresses are in there. So we know who's getting the show, and it's us. And so we spread it, we make it good, we bring it to you, we get wonderful expert guests like today. We got Juan Flores. He's a licensed marriage family therapist and a behavioral health manager, and we bring you good topics, and that's what we do. Today, welcome. It is the season, and what we're doing today is we're brushing off something we used to do every year, and we're going to start making it a new tradition and kind of bringing it back. And that is, we're going to do a show on gratitude, because it's holiday time, and for a lot of reasons, it's one of those things where if you dial into it now, you can really, really, really appreciate it, and it can even do you some good. So we're going to talk today about gratitude with father, therapist, manager, all-around cool soccer coach. Soccer coach. Juan Flores. Welcome aboard, Juan. How are you, man?
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for the invite.
Yeah. We were looking, you know, the producers all sitting around going, who can we get to do this show? Who's like the perfect person? And we're like, hey, you know, let's get Juan Flores to do this show. He's going to nail it. And so here we are. We're going to nail the show. So let's start with, like why is holiday time a good time to start thinking about gratitude? I mean, what's going on in holidays that might make it like even more crazy than the rest of regular life?
Well, I think holidays, and ironic as it might sound, that you might think gratitude is a given. And right. I know we were talking about this right before the show. I think the overall gist of it, the feel of it, the reasons we get into holidays and we celebrate holidays. Interestingly enough, the routines and the traditions or just the automatic, being on automatic pilot during these seasons, really leads to neglecting that whole reason why the holidays exist. And so we're talking about some of the stress that comes with these times and some of the consequences of that and the burden it lays on individuals, families, or communities in general. So gratitude, although we might think it's a must, you know, and it's something that people should have instilled in them, is not always the case. And I think that's sometimes what leads to these holidays not being very pleasant for a lot of people.
Well, when do I lose my relationship with gratitude? When I get really busy, yeah. Right? When I'm like multitasking and stuff, and holidays seem to have an element of that.
Very much so, especially with all the stressors that come with it, you know, in terms of finances, plans, family gatherings, events, all the kind of things that, you know, is expected in society.
Dad, the new iPhone only cost $1,100. Hook me up, man.
True. True. And that's the other big one right there. Social media and just media in general and what is being sold out there to the youth and
consumerism's really comes with its own package of expectations, huh?
Yes.
I mean, we're supposed to be a certain type of consumer, and then
and look at the commercials, right? I mean, you got all these happy people carrying iPhones and
amazingly good looking,
you know, going to all these nice fancy places.
And, well, actually, the really cool ones are carrying Android, but you know,
that's yeah. And so, you know, that message is being sent out, and I think more so than other times, that social media or just media has become a powerhouse, you know, and a big influence in our community. So I remember, even as a kid, you know, media was around,
right?
But I don't recall it being such a big influence on our traditions and our family.
When you were a little kid, you weren't doing like selfies with your Christmas presents?
No, we were drawing. What is it called? A Magna Doodle or
right?
But yeah, I mean, that's a big one that we have to really pay attention to, because if not, you know, then we get into the risk of losing that reason why.
Well, because it just amps it up a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
You know, the holidays, you've got, it reconnects to family in ways too. And with families, always with families, mm-hmm. there's cycles, there's loss, there's concerns, there's other things that mm-hmm. you really don't think about. And all of a sudden it's holiday season and that chair at that table's empty.
Yes, this time of the year, Thanksgiving on to Christmas, New Year's, you know, does become very nostalgic for a lot of folks who have lost loved ones, or who have experienced any kind of traumas or anything related to loss.
Yeah. Can't get together because families are extended, or they're you've got sometimes marriage divorce stuff going on.
Yes. Yes.
That kind of stuff can impact.
Big time. So a lot of things to look at. I think it's nice that we get an opportunity in this show to kind of break down some of those stressors and maybe hopefully even provide a little bit of a, you know, certain options of how to get by through these tough times in a healthy way.
Because, you know, we're recording this today, the day before Thanksgiving, yeah. and we're going to broadcast right before Christmas. You know, my family will connect with me and say, hey, I'm going to be over. Are you going to have this favorite recipe of mine? Right?
Yes. Yes.
And now I got to run out and buy this stuff.
Yes.
And then I got to cook the stuff. I'm already letting people down this year, man.
Expectation, right?
Well, you know, because it's a tradition and people are coming in with that. And all of a sudden, the expectation's an additional burden and duty upon you.
Yes. And I think upon a family and a couple.
Yeah.
I think I want to take it down to the more basic, you know, if you have a extended family. And,
right.
And the influence that has on a couple, on a married couple, you know, and what kinds of decisions a married couple has to make to be on good terms with both sides of the family, that
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
These holidays become very challenging because there's no way to please everybody.
Right.
And so there's no way that, you know, everybody's going to be pleased and happy with decisions that are made. Because
we celebrate Christmas at 9 o'clock in the morning. You better hold that time on your calendar because.
Right? We have to stay up to midnight so we can hug and. Then,
well, hopefully one side of the family stays up till midnight and the other side gets up at 9 in the morning because then at least you're not conflicted, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of decisions. And, but I think we want to provide a clear view that. You know, there is options, and I think more than the decisions that are made, it's more about how you communicate to come about to make those decisions. That's important because as a family, you know, sometimes that's lost.
And, right.
And the true essence of what's going to make these times pleasing and joyful and are going to be very gratifying for the family. Gets lost because, you know, decisions are made in a rash manner and we go because we feel obligated to go to certain events.
You're pushed into things.
Pushed into things.
And that takes you away from gratitude.
And that takes you away
You're
from
feeling resentful and
Yeah. And is that something you want to instill in your kids, you know? And I'm pretty sure a lot of the answers are
Wait, his parents were modeling? Dang.
So talking it over, I think, before decisions are made, before the holidays approach.
The major market of their Christmas stuff in the store. So we're talking before Halloween.
Before Halloween, you know.
How are we doing Christmas this year? Is that kind of the conversation starter?
That, and I think to get an early start, if you have little kids, so young ones, from early on, you know, what kinds of traditions are you going to have and are you going to agree upon,
right,
in your family, you know?
Well, how might those stretch you? So, I mean, each little tradition carries a little weight, carries cost, carries time, carries obligation.
Yeah.
And then, so which ones do you want to stack up? Because, once you commit to them, your kids are going to be like 39 years old going, where's the special caramel fudge, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, there's traditions that I think are carried on from families to families and not ever really questioned.
Which do we carry from our culture? Which do we carry from your culture? Which, you know.
That's important. And so I think the basic element there
is communication. We're back
communication, right? I mean, how do you
talking that one out?
Well, you have your immediate family, your nucleus, and then you have your extended family.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, you have to learn to distinguish between both, or else, you know, it could be overbearing and it could be confusing times. When especially the holidays roll around, because there won't be a clear defined line as to what's appropriate for us, for our family.
So extended families may have preferences, and if you haven't kind of carved out your spot as an immediate family about how you're going to handle those, then it's going to come in and it's going to overwhelm.
Yeah. Especially the couple. I think the ultimate consequence is the burden on the couple themselves and the strained relationship. You mentioned it, Scott. The resentment that comes with it, because you're put in a position where you feel obligated and that your view or your opinion wasn't taken into consideration, or your side of the family was neglected, or just traditions weren't valued, and that's a big burden on the couple and the family. That can be avoided with good communication and talking it over.
Well, I was thinking, because when you're talking about that, I was thinking, you know, even if it's a less preferred expectation, and Lord knows there's plenty of those in my life, talking about it beforehand allows me to kind of at least kind of say, well, you know, I realize this is important, and even though I'm not wild about it, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah.
And now I'm okay because it didn't just walk up and hit me upside the head.
I think there's nothing more valuable than knowing ahead of time and giving each other the heads up. You don't have to agree all the time.
So somebody's listening to the show right now and they're realizing, man, we never had this discussion and we're right in the middle of this stuff. Yeah. What are they going to do?
Well, it's never too late to plan and talk. I mean, even if it's in the same...
It's like a deep breath and saying, hey, you know what? No wonder it's been a little tense.
Even if it's on the same day, you know, and you're getting ready to go somewhere... You know, it's really something we really want to do. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to have to go back home with your partner and your kids. You don't have to go back home with your extended family members, unless, of course, they're part of your nucleus.
And they all live in the same. We all live in the same house.
But you got to think about the ones you have to go back home to and the ones you have to go back home with.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones that are going to be the ones that are going to, that you're going to have to go through the motions of dealing with this resentment or these negative feelings that come from being forced into something that you didn't really want to be part of, you know? At the very least, if there was an agreement or an understanding, you could lessen the consequence of there being a lot of repercussion afterwards with the resentment or disagreements that could come from it. At least you were both on the same page. You know, the kids knew about the expectation. I mean, we don't realize. I know. I didn't gain the value of that until later on, after we had our second child, in terms of family traditions and events. You know, we had to really kind of start talking out. Okay, well, which ones do we want to continue going to? Where are we going to go during these holidays? It really had to become a talk in a conversation, because we had to take into consideration factors. Like the kids, what times we have now accustomed our kids even to going to bed. Let's say on my end, my family, all the traditions are traditions that, you know, as a kid, I stayed up late,
Right.
We don't have our kids accustomed that way now. So we have to consider that as a factor. So I still want them to be part of somewhat that element of what I was part of growing up, you know, the family unity, the getting together, the you know, experiencing that, getting to know their cousins, things like that. But I realized for us, we have to go early.
Yeah.
So we go early, visit my grandma, spend time with them early, so that way we check out early.
Yeah.
And although it's been a while, and it took some time for my family to adjust to that, at least my end of the family, my extended family.
Why are you leaving so early? Yeah. You don't like us?
But I think now it's we've set a pace,
right?
And we set we've sent a message on our end, on our family, as to what we're gonna be.
We love you. This works better for us.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, both of those, you can hold both of those at the same time.
Yeah. So I get a little bit of both in terms of them getting exposed to a little bit of what I grew up with, but also to respecting what we have now set up for our own family. And it works out. I mean, it's not a perfect world, but I think it, considering your partner and considering your family and your own kids, it's important. And to have that talk, at least that chat or checking in, and not expecting that it's assumed that this is
what October 23rd before.
Yeah, right.
No, so. You know what? This is kind of a weird tangent, but you know what comes to mind? Floyd Mayweather. And here's why. Because I'm almost looking at the holidays as almost like kind of like a prize fight, right? Because because it's this time where you're really condensing stuff. You're packing a lot of stuff in. It's a contest. Mm-hmm. And you want to get through the contest in good shape. You know, yes. Ultimately you want to win the fight, if you will. And so, you know, back in October, you sit down with your partner and you say, okay, what's the training plan, right? Yeah. What do we got to do to get up to this time and into this time and through this contest and come out in good shape at the end, out with our belt?
That's a good way of framing it. Well, and I think about financial expenses as you're mentioning that,
right,
because we don't have to wait until the holidays roll around to start buying things. I know one of the traditions we've set up And I thank my wife for that, for being a better planner and strategizer and more mindful of finances than I am. But, you know, starting from, you know, if December ends, January, you know, we start already purchasing what could potentially be a gift for somebody later on down the road, the next upcoming holidays. But we do that a little bit at a time. You know, you buy a gift here, a gift there. That way, when the holidays roll around, you don't feel the full burden of finances.
That's part of the training plan, right? I mean, that's kind of like.
But it takes time. I mean, it takes time, but you do have to open up that conversation, whatever works.
So you're Floyd Mayweather. You're actually you don't stop jogging. You're actually getting up every morning and jogging 3 miles by buying the toys ahead of time.
Yeah.
So that when it comes time to really get down and do the heavy bag work and get ready for the fight, you're already in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a good analogy because, you know, you can't avoid. The fight, especially if it's already planned.
The obligations of the holidays don't go away. But not only that, the seeds of joy that are embedded in the holidays, it's like if you've got a good plan and you go into it, you get to take advantage of those.
You get to enjoy it.
You know, holiday shouldn't be a weird form of torture. You know?
It shouldn't. I mean, I think it's a total opposite of what it turns out to be sometimes. I mean, or what's expected. I mean, it's expected we have fun. It's expected we enjoy the holidays. We spend time with family. We cherish the time.
Right.
But if not talked about or the conversation isn't opened up, you know, it could lead to burdensome times and even triggers for some people that already have a lot going on.
Right. You're rolling back into households with unresolved stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
and we haven't even got into that. We're just talking about basic stuff like holiday planning and events and finances.
I mean, that's that first moment you walk into your mom's house and she says something to you and you say, you know, that's cool, but I'm not 18 anymore. Actually, I'm like 60. Yeah. Right. And so I've kind of already moved on beyond that. But I realized that that was, you know, a code exchange that you would give me when I was 18 and I'm cool. Thanks.
We were talking about this the other day. It's like holidays roll around and you go visit relatives and
they haven't seen you. They don't know who you are today.
Like, and it is in a way kind of like getting into a time machine, you know, going back in time. Although you've been an adult for some time, you have your own family, you think you have your stuff together, you're doing your own thing, but then always happens you go back to the holidays, get reacquainted with people.
And they put you in a time machine.
You get in that time machine and old feelings or old, you know, grudges, things that used to happen when you were a kid, you know, they come back. And that too could lead to
they haven't done their Windows updates because they open up the program, the Scott program or the WAN program, and they're opening up an old program. That program's been updating because you've been doing your work, you've been developing as a human being, and they walk in there and they give you like 18-year-old Scott, and you're like,
and that brings up your 18-year-old Scott feelings,
my oppositional defiant teenager,
not your current adult feelings, you know, so you can't help but get into those battles sometimes, which make add that extra added stress to these holidays.
That's actually part of the pre-fight training is realizing that stuff's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, you know, even if you don't catch it right away, mm-hmm. you at some point you catch up to it and say, oh, wait a minute. The reason I'm bent out of shape right now is because mm-hmm. this is happening and I can just let it go.
Yeah.
Because this person doesn't know me today. They know me, you know, back when I used to hang out every day.
And which could also lead to important decisions, like, should we even go? You know,
right.
Having my kids now, do I really want to expose them and be witness to uncomfortable family unresolved dynamics? You know, why not just stick around at home, have our own thing, have fun, enjoy these times? I know it's a hard decision to make, but you think about not only yourself now, it's about your family.
Then how do you respectfully tell that person that, you know, we're actually probably not going to come over this year.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got your reason for it. And how do you kind of, you know, how much of that do you disclose? Or is it like, you know, the kids are all sick or whatever, you know? And that's a tough choice.
Yeah. Your partner could help you with that. Come up with a good reason.
Buy me a new cell phone for Christmas with a different number, okay? I don't know. Well, let's take a short break. Okay. This is Let's Talk About It. We're brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We're here with Juan Flores, Behavioral Health Manager, licensed marriage family therapist. We're talking about gratitude for the holidays. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of the self-care aspects and maybe some of the risk aspects. See you in a minute.
Let's Talk About It, bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back. Let's Talk About It, your voice for radio wellness here in the Imperial Valley. Joined today by Juan Flores, licensed marriage family therapist and a behavioral health manager for the youth and young adult program. So,
yes.
Now he's got two kids, so he's there at the youth and young adult program, kind of gearing up for the future.
I'm learning about youth and young adults.
Kids are going to grow up and they're going to be teenagers, and then it's going to be like, oh, okay, I've been hanging out for a while. I know some stuff.
Well, it's come full circle, actually, because this is a population I started working with when I was in behavioral health as a volunteer and as an earlier case manager for alcohol and drugs. It was youth and the youth population. So it's good to be back.
Nice. Good to have you back. So I want to kind of grab this because, you know, we're talking about the added stress of holidays, and there's so many different ways that holidays can just amp it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Who may be at more particular risk for added stress? Is there kind of a way to look at this and say, you know, these may be less resilient people? These may be people we want to keep an eye on?
Well, definitely if you have a pre-existing condition in the nature of anxiety or prone to depression, or you're currently undergoing some form of treatment to treat anxiety or depression.
Yeah.
There has been statistics to prove that, you know, these times could definitely exacerbate the symptoms of anxiety or depression. If the symptoms of anxiety and depression or people that are being treated for such start neglecting whatever it was that they were using to help cope or deal with their anxiety. Let's say in the case of somebody who's dealing with something like PTSD or dealing with anxiety, like a generalized anxiety disorder or a more severe form of depression in combined therapy, and they stop going to their therapy or they forget about taking their medications. You know, definitely these holidays.
It's because you get caught up, you're really busy, or what's going on with that?
Normally that kind of what tends to happen is, you know, the focus becomes other things, you know, not so much the self. So it is very much and recommended even through NAMI where self-care becomes a very important part of this time of the year. And for people, especially folks with already pre-established mental health conditions, such as anxiety, depression, PTSD, or schizophrenia, or any other form of mental illness, that they take very good care of themselves during this time of the year. And whatever it is, whatever network of support they have, that they do not get away from that.
Yeah.
And that they actually start reaching out to that support network more often during this time.
I noticed alcohol tends to flow a little bit more heavily around this time of the year.
Yes, yes. That's a big one.
Potential risk for some people, for sure, huh?
Definitely.
No, but, I don't even think it's cultural, man. Like Bing Crosby or something tossing back eggnogs, right?
Right. Well, that could definitely add another spin to exacerbation of symptoms since alcohol and drugs. I don't want to just categorize this year as a time where alcohol and drugs are utilized, but because of the sentiment that's brought by these festive seasons,
a lot of traditions are tied to consumption.
Yeah, they are reminiscing and getting reacquainted. So it's very important to look at those factors, and we were talking earlier about decisions that are made and what kinds of activities or what kinds of traditions. Even just where do we decide to go in the holidays, that can make a big difference for somebody who is currently dealing with a mental illness and put them in a tough predicament where they're going to go to some relative's house who there might be a lot of alcohol or drug consumption.
Yeah, yeah.
And that added stress of having to consume, that's a big one. That's a big one.
You know, I could see it being difficult as well, because if you're going back to that kind of partner example,
yeah.
I'm really struggling with my anxiety, and I know we're supposed to go to this thing, and I know it's important to your parents,
yeah,
and I it's just really getting me amped up, and how, what do we do about that? Because now you're kind of
That's definitely,
those are hard conversations.
They're hard conversations. And I could say that if somebody's already, let's say, undergoing some form of therapy,
yeah,
that they open that conversation with their therapist so they could include planning on how to talk to their spouse about these difficult times. And in that way, it could help them open the conversation. Because I think the hard part about somebody with anxiety is that, that anticipating
right
factor of, like, these holidays are coming up, and already thinking about all the things that is going to happen and who's going to be involved and what you're going to have to do. That could be super stressful. And
and family can be magically triggering.
Yes. Yes. Especially if their history hasn't been a bright one, or
supportive, nurturing one.
Yes. So, and if you don't have to have therapy to plan this out, but like you mentioned, someone with anxiety, planning ahead, opening the conversation with enough time, that's important. And for the partner to respect that, and I'm not saying favor or side with the person, but at least open the conversation.
Right. And recognize the courage it takes to say something like that. Because, man, to come out and say, I realize this is important to your family, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah.
It takes a brave person to say that.
And at least there could be a middle ground maybe that could be reached.
Is there a way we could do this that would honor your anxiety and still kind of...
Can I join in by phone or something?
FaceTime. Let's do this.
I mean, at least it'll bring up some conversation where you can find middle ground.
Yeah.
It's when it's not done and it's left up to chance.
Or it comes pushed to the moment and then it becomes a crisis or a drama.
Then it becomes a crisis.
So part of this October kind of getting your head around this stuff is A, what do I need to stay the course on? Like, so if it's treatment or if it's medication or if it's good counseling or whatever.
Definitely being very clear on what your treatment is and stick to it. And if needed, brainstorm with your providers.
Yeah.
And I guess what else would you need? Because the thing about the holidays, you might need to amp up certain elements of treatment or add new members to your network or things, places, just coping. coping strategies or skills can be added to your plan. But that needs to be considered, because just whatever you were on during the rest of the year might not suffice.
Right.
But it's important that if the holidays are coming up and they're typically a time where you have a rough time, and that you start that conversation to see what else you can add to your plan or your support network.
Well, and looking down the road and trying to identify your potential triggers, right? I mean,
that's important.
This is going to be a rough one. This might be a rough one, and knowing that ahead of time.
And like you brought up the analogy about the fight, Mayweather, and knowing that, preparing for all that's important. I mean, we don't mean to say, you know, you stress yourself out about the holidays and the preparation of it.
Well, Floyd's not young anymore, so part of his preparation has to, like, amp up to the fact that he's not 23 years old, mm-hmm. and he's going to have to train that older body. It's just kind of the same thing. If you've got conditions that are going to, you know, make it special,
yes,
you want to honor those.
Yeah, you do. And that's an excellent word, honor. This is an excellent word for the self. You have to honor yourself, because one of the things that these stats point to is that a lot of people forget about the self during these times. And in doing so, you know, you do create a recipe for meltdown, breakdown, crisis.
Wait, and there's not much room for stopping and savoring gratitude in that kind of a thing, you know, when you're really reactive or you're feeling distressed or you're feeling resentful or angry or sad or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I don't know how the family takes to a person being there but not really being there. Like, yeah. I could be there, let's say, as a father, presence-wise, but if I'm stressed out about finances and what I'm going to have to buy for Christmas and all the family members and the events we have to go to, you know, it's like a shell of a body, and I don't think that's of any good use to my kids.
Because you're all distracted, right?
So I'm distracted.
You're not present to your family anymore.
And I think they would value more what we do with that time, even if it's not spending money. But I think they would value more, like, time we spend together, like playing board games or just going out there, kicking the ball around, chasing them around, playing tag, or just letting them paint my nails or brush my hair. I think they value and they probably...
I was going to ask you about your nails.
Those are, right?
That's a like good look
color
on you.
Yeah, Vida, my little one, chose the color.
Nice. The things you can do on radio.
Yeah. But definitely, you know, having that element of presence is important, because if anything, you brought it back to the nature of the show, which is gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, being present in the moment, only then you find that gratitude. Then you find the things that you're grateful for. Otherwise, you're stressed out and you're living in another zone.
And if you're like a hamster on a wheel, that ain't going to happen, right?
It's just
not going to get quite to that point. Is there... For all of us, I mean, we talked a little bit about you know, who really, really kind of needs to keep an eye on this. But for all of us, it is seemingly more intense of a time.
Yeah.
Is there self-care stuff that we could engage in that kind of makes that easier? Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sure Floyd starts, you know, taking vitamins. And I'm not sure what he does to get ready for a fight, but I'm sure he starts adding things to his self-care that better prepare him for that moment.
Well, definitely... vitamins, health.
So eating right, right?
Eating right, sleeping right.
We're about to go right into the not so good eating season.
The basics, especially because, as you've seen, a lot of people have been getting sick. You know, this is like cold and flu season.
It's cold and flu season. Let's add that.
So already that added to everything else we mentioned earlier on the show. Taking care of yourself on the basic level of your immunities and your diet. You know, that's important. Start there.
When we stop it in this meeting and... So one of the things we could say is, hey, look, if any of us is sick, we need to stop and reformulate at that point, because we don't want to go ahead with the plan if something like that is going to happen, because it may make it harder or less fun or less rewarding.
And if you have a newborn, right?
Right.
And I remember this back to when I had a newborn. I remember we made
talking to somebody in the room, huh?
Yeah. Shout out to Mario on his new baby here, papa.
Yeah, our producer, Mario Espinosa, new dad.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, we made some tough choices or some tough decisions when we had our newborn. I remember for the first time, it was during the holidays, actually, right? My firstborn was around, it was October, and so holidays rolled up
there you
after.
Go. Yep.
we had to call family. And
you
ask.
Hadn't had a good night's sleep.
There was people getting cold flus and were sick. And we had to have that on our radar. And that influenced some of our decision as to where we went and where we spent our time because we didn't want a newborn who has low immunities and you know, getting.
Well, and for brand new parents, that additional stress of a sick baby. Yeah.
I mean, we wanted to our family to meet the baby and all that, you know, the traditional stuff, but not at the cost of a baby getting sick, you know. And so we had to outweigh our.
How'd you do that? Did you have like a
we did somewhat
restraining
of like
restraining order kind of thing, like 18 feet back? And
no, we kind of laid it out. I think. You know, luckily we
bathe in hand sanitizer before you can walk into this room.
We haven't been too shy about expressing our and being clear and transparent about what we see as important. So if we have family members and we expect it and we kind of assume they care too, you know, that they would respect that, you know, if we didn't.
But their natural impulse would be, and you've got a brand new baby, so you're going to come and you're going to spend the whole time with us because we really want to see the baby. And it's they're going to be seeing it from their unmet need.
Yeah. So we had to, unfortunately,
kind of frame
disappoint some of those unmet needs and think about what was more appropriate for our small family.
Yeah.
But it's tough decisions, tough choices, even small things like that could stress you out because – me having the big family I have and the extended family, I know that was something that was probably stressing my wife out. It's like, oh my God, he's going to want to go to all these places. And I'm glad we had the talk early on and, it was decided, you know, baby comes first. And so we're going to kind of play it by ear on these kind of things, you know, and I supported her in that way because I didn't want the baby to get ill either, you know,
because,
for a newborn, catch something like a flu could be detrimental.
So paying attention to our health, eating right, good sleep. How about good sleep?
Good sleep, definitely.
Because, you know, there's going to be times
and I know
when
it's hard during these times because kids are out of school. They want to stay up late. By the time they wind down, you wind down, it's already late. Then you got to, especially if you work.
Right. I
mean, my kids.
If you do the present thing, man, somebody's got to stay up rapping, right? I mean, it's like.
So sleep is important. And this doesn't just apply to people with a pre-established condition of mental health. Just sleep in general is super important. Just get good R&R and take care of yourself because you want to enjoy the holidays, but you also want to be in good health and good standing to be able to enjoy it.
You know, fortunately for Valley people, exercise. This is actually exercise season for us because it's too hot in the summer.
And it's actually good jogging weather.
Right, exactly. Well, and if you lived in the Midwest or up in the mountains or something, you know, you'd be cabin bound. You know, you'd be stuck in your room. You wouldn't be getting any exercise, and that might add to one of the stressors too.
Yeah, big time.
So you want to keep your activity level good and keep, you know, that's part of just kind of having the ability to respond to the additional stress.
That adds. I mean, you don't have to spend a lot of money on self care. I think small things you do around your house. Like just, you know, listening to music.
I was going to say, gear up your favorite oldies tape.
Like, they have a lot of good holiday music right now. The oldies, the goodies, you know, they have a lot of things you could do around the house. They call it scent therapy, right? Where you light up candles, aromatherapy. You could do that.
Well, that's true. They got the special apple ones right now and the pine ones.
Now's the time.
Yep.
A lot of little things you could do that don't require a lot of money, but that could lead to improved...
A sense of balance and calm.
Yes.
What about setting aside time, like having kind of like, okay, holiday season, let's make sure and grab like 20 minutes or half hour of just calm, reflective, quiet time where we shut it all down, even though there may be some stuff we need to keep going and doing every single day. Just kind of making that just a practice.
That's bliss if you're able to do that. I mean, and if you build that into your family and your routine, that's super, super helpful to the kids as well because it sends off a good message that life doesn't have to be fast paced. You know, that you could put a pause on it and pay attention to what matters and then continue moving on. You know, and I think sometimes that's missed and we get kids tied up in our own routine. You know, I'm guilty as charged because, you know, that's happened. But I know that for us building in the morning a moment of reflection and prayer and just pretty much what we are grateful for, even if it's just 5 minutes to reflect on what we want our day to be, That's worked, and that's helped kind of like, you know, kind of reset our mind frame. Because I think, and this is when school's back in, we get into the routine of rushing kids to school, get into work on time and all this other stuff.
And sometimes hurrying actually costs us time and makes us later.
What used to be stressful for us, like the drive to the school and then to work and all that, we've even little things like making good use of that time, and as opposed to make it being something stressful, taking advantage of the time, because it could take literally about like maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes of your time in the morning to get the kids to school, drop them off. So instead of it being a 15-minute dreadful period, one of the things that's helped us, and we try to stay consistent with it, has been using that time on the drive to school to just kind of like do it's like a modified type prayer we've had for our own kids and our family as to what we want our day to be and what we're grateful for, and we've gotten into the habit of doing that, especially during the work week, the school week. So that helps to kind of reset our mind frame from the morning, you know, and the rush of getting out of the house and all that, because when we've forgotten to do it, we notice a difference, right?
Because
there's like that, something's missing kind of feel. But if you're able to take advantage, even on your drive to the store or something, and even those small moments, you know, you could take advantage and do something different with it. Doesn't cost any money.
Yeah.
But you could definitely help reset.
And you were going to have to do it anyway. And so, you're bringing me back, because my daughter, you know, just went up to college, so she's not around right now.
Yeah.
But for her entire time in school, the drive to school in the morning was my daddy date.
Nice.
Was my chance to kind of connect with her and talk to her. And, you know, when she's in elementary, I'd actually walk her all the way up to the school. And it was just kind of that rhythm to that.
Yeah.
Because the day would go from there, and we might not have just her and I time after that, you know.
And it's not that you're physically doing anything different. You're just utilizing the
time. You're just recognizing the opportunity.
Yeah, you're taking advantage of it and seeing it as an opportunity. That's good.
We have an opportunity to take a break. This is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, and we'll be right back for the last segment.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Let's Talk About It, your voice for radio wellness here in the Imperial County, brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and your friends at KXL Radio. We're all a team together doing good stuff. Hey, if you have questions or comments about the show, hit us up by email. It's wellnessradio, no spaces, no caps, nothing, wellnessradio at co.imperial.ca.us. That'll make my phone ding right now if you do it, so. We look forward to hearing from you, everybody who we hear from, we deal with, and it's our pleasure. It really is, because it's like, wow, somebody had like a question about the show. We get all excited about it. So if you do that, we appreciate it. And we got Juan on a short leash. Man, I got his cell phone number. We will hit him up with any questions that might happen. We're here with Juan Flores. He's a licensed marriage family therapist. He's a behavioral health manager for the Youth and Young Adult Program. Welcome back, Juan.
Thank you, Scott.
Hey, so let's jump in. If we do the self-care, if we do the good planning, if we talk and communicate with our partners and our immediate family, what might we realize in the holiday season?
That they're enjoyable.
I mean, what do holidays really mean, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it opens the door for what you mentioned about gratitude. Like, we'll actually get to appreciate the moments. We'll get to appreciate the time spent with family, and what really matters. I think that's the ultimate consequence or benefit. More than a consequence, it's a benefit of having a good plan in place, is that you actually get to enjoy the time, and not that it won't be stressful, but you'll learn to manage better and cope through these difficult times and make the most of it, I believe, which would take us back to the nature of the holidays, which is to be grateful, to have gratitude, to enjoy our family, and instill those good values onto your kids, because they're looking at you. They're looking at us,
downloading us,
and every move, every gesture, every decision we make, they're learning from us. They didn't grow up like we grew up, so they have no
idea. Wait. I told my kid to do everything that I wasn't doing. Wasn't that enough?
Well, telling them one thing and them going through it, like we did as kids, two different things, because they might hear it.
Do as I say, not as I do.
But what really, my motto. What really impacts a child's brain is the live example they have at home every single day. So they see their parent going through these times stressed out. And or it could be two ways. You know, they see the parent enjoying the time and making the most of the time, and they'll have those values instilled that the holidays, what the holidays mean, and that it is a moment to be cherished and enjoyable times. Versus if they see a parent stressed out and anxious, driven and depressed, or resorting to other forms of coping with that anxiety or that stress.
They'll see that
as well. So that's what we have to be mindful of as adults with children, or even young adults, who you surround yourself with and who can be part of your support network. You know, who do you want to build into that support network? You don't have to have kids, and that doesn't have to be the driving force behind your decision. But you do have relatives. You do have loved ones that care for you, that are there for you. We just don't reach out to them as
well. And a broader community, right? I mean, so like if you get to a four-way stop and you let somebody go because you kind of got there at the same time, for example, or if you're, you know, going into one of these big crowded retail stores and you know everybody's kind of a little bit dialed up because they're spending money maybe they don't have because they're trying to live up to an obligation, and hold the door. You know, and let that cart go through, or help somebody load their car because they're elderly or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you can touch more than, you know, you start with your family and it gets to be a broader circle.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the right spot.
Kind of like that pay it forward approach, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, that's one small deed.
You know, you were talking about kids and the whole downloading thing. And one of the things that occurs to me is maybe there should be a little bit of transparency about all the planning that goes into making good decisions so that you can be in those moments of magic.
Yeah.
So it's not just the moment of magic, because it'd be cool if you get there and it's magic.
Yeah.
They'll pick up on that.
Yeah.
But if they pick up on the fact that it is magic because you dealt with it and you set it up and you framed it and you did the stuff that you had to do to get there.
Yeah,
that's even, you know, that's a nice lesson.
That would be the ultimate goal, is that they be involved. I don't want to say every single decision that an adult makes or a couple needs to make.
No, they could just look over your shoulder. They don't get necessarily a vote.
They see that there is a formula to these things.
Right,
and that in itself.
A process.
There's a process, and that itself sets a good example for them as to, or just a good notion of, you know what, things don't just happen magically in life. There's preparation that goes into things. I think that itself, you know, creates a safety blanket for them in the future when it comes to decision making, or when it comes to just planning in general, that there is such a thing as planning. That's a good example to set for kids, and not leave them out the loop. I know sometimes grown-ups, we want to have kids like out of the loop as much as possible. But when it comes time to, you know, these holidays.
That's why I bought them tablets, right?
Yeah.
With good Wi-Fi. Never saw them again.
Yeah. And so in keeping them involved, definitely important. You know, like you said, I think it sends a big message to them, a special message.
Yeah.
And special feelings that come with those.
Well, even something as simple as, you know, I know everybody's out of school right now, but we're going to stick to the bedtime routine because tomorrow's going to be a really busy day.
Yeah.
You know, something as simple as that just kind of says, you know, there's a process to this. And if we want to enjoy tomorrow, this is how we're going to manage right now.
And, you know, that's an excellent point, because that's one of the things that I think during holidays gets forgotten, is like we were talking about self-care, even that itself, like sleep, right? Kids tend to think, oh, well, I don't have to go to school. You know, can I go to sleep as late as I want? As a parent giving into that and saying, well, yeah, you're right. You don't have to go to school. But the parent has to work.
Right.
We're not transparent and clear with them about, you know, there is still expectation, there is still boundaries. Then they get the idea that these holidays roll around and you forget about yourself.
Yeah.
You forget about your self-care. You know, that doesn't matter. And it should matter. And things as small, something as simple as sleep routine and them not forgetting about a sleep routine during these holidays, that sends a message to them, hey, no matter if you're on vacation or not, your self-care matters and your sleep matters.
This is your maximum functioning.
My sleep matters. We can't get off of that. There's some things we can compromise with, but...
Well, and that's a gift to yourself, the parent, because then you're not dealing with a grouchy kid the next day because they didn't get enough sleep.
Because they'll wake up at the same time, regardless of how late they go to sleep.
Right, for sure. What about this? Holidays can also be a time to really get back in touch with spiritual practices, with getting in touch with your foundations, with your traditions.
This is a good time to, if not already, to rekindle that fire, to get connected as much as you can to your support networks. And if that's one of the support networks or the only support network, then...
That's a good way of saying it. If, you know, regardless of what your support networks are, indeed.
Definitely. But definitely something worthwhile mentioning is that religious aspect, that faith-based aspect, you know, that is really clear and on the map during these times, because you can find a lot of support through that avenue.
Right.
No matter what your family system or your nucleus looks like, some people might not have one, and that also becomes part of an important survival network for these people during these times.
Well, yeah, and even like if you're comfortable not having one, honoring that. I mean, that's okay, because if you're surrounded by people who are, that's part of the expectation, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go here, we're going to go here, this service, that service, whatever, and that's not you. Then part of your well-being may be just to kind of gratefully disincline yourself, right?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm good. Thank you. I think at peace with myself and the world.
I don't think there's anything that can't be negotiated with the right approach. So, but it does take planning. It does take practice.
We're really talking about awareness here, right? We're really talking about, hey, holidays are coming up. You know, how do I maximize the experience? How do I make it as magical, as touching, as connecting as I can? Because it is about connecting, a lot of connection.
And the major, more important connection should be, I think, with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, without that, it's going to be hard to...
Yeah.
The next one's really hard.
So like you said, if connecting with yourself is respecting things like that, like what is important to you, what means a lot to you. And if you just don't really... There's certain avenues of support and things that mean a lot to you. You want to connect yourself to those things, and that's something you respect and that you communicate to others. So it is respected. Doesn't have to involve the traditional stuff and the services and everything else that might be sold out in the community or passed along through tradition. But as long as you stay true to yourself, I think that's a more important meaning during these holidays. Because in doing so, then you'll cherish everything else around you.
Yeah.
Your family.
And you bring up a good point.
Friends.
Part of that is the radar of saying, oh, look, this is an external thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this is somebody trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
Or this is somebody else thinks this is a good idea for me.
Yeah.
But it may not be, because if you slow down and kind of look at it through yourself.
If it means you're going to stress yourself out to the point where you're actually going to get angry at your kids for having to buy that thing.
It's past.
Then you have to let it go. You have to explain, I think, break it down to your kids, you know, that there is a limitation, there is boundaries, you know, the idea of Santa or whatever idea you want to instill in your kids, that it's not forgotten what the true meaning of giving is, because I think it's more focus is placed on the gift itself than the act of giving, and which is what really matters in the case of Christmas and giving. And letting them know that, okay, yeah, well, the fact that you got something you actually like, that's a plus. But just the idea of giving and putting and exposing kids to those traits. I know there's we have friends and I know colleagues through work that have accustomed their kids to creating like duffel bags of blankets and different things that they put in their items, like a jacket or sweaters or dry socks or different things, pants or even food, canned foods. They put together duffel bags and then they go around and to different homeless shelters or just to the homeless encampments.
The encampments, yeah.
And then they pass these on and as a gesture of giving. And they've gotten their kids used to that. Man, that's gold, because, well, you know.
Giving is gratitude. It's gratitude in action, right?
Yeah, that's something that's really... getting aside from and beyond yourself. That teaching that to kids, that's important.
I took on, as part of my cultural awareness of joining a Hispanic culture family, I took on the responsibility for making tamales.
Nice.
And so I became the tamale dude. And the net story is that nobody in my family really likes tamales. Every year I've got I was having all these dozens and dozens of tamales.
Take them.
So what we started doing, we switched the transition. So what we started doing is after I'd make the tamales, we'd bag them all up and then we'd go to the encampments. And we'd start handing out, hey, here's a dozen tamales. They're still hot. Enjoy. Merry Christmas, and enjoy yourself. And so that's
awesome.
Driving around, having my daughter, yeah. I'd stay in the car and have my daughter run them over to people and stuff. Nice. It was cool.
And that's a beautiful tradition, I think.
And I got my cooking Jones satisfied because I do like to cook.
Nice. Yeah. I know that some families get together before Christmas and they make an evening of it. It's just put together the tamales and just the time they spend talking and rekindling and everything. That's
I knew when I went from stirring the masa to actually stuffing the tamale with meat that I that was like an upgrade. I'd gotten a promotion in the family. Hey Juan, I want to give a shout out to you. First of all, thanks for coming aboard. Thanks for being a part of the show. I want to thank Maria Wyatt, who's not here today. She's been our partner in crime for all these years, and the show really is wonderful. She had such a nice dimension to this. And Mario, our producer, who drops everything and runs over here and does shows at random times and always makes us sound better than we actually are. Our current administration, Andrea Kulin, the director, Letty Plancarte, the assistant director, they're supporting this. They're keeping it going. I want to thank Mike Horn. This was Mike Horn's vision as director a while back. And then he kind of, threw us up on into this and kept it going. And I really think that it's gone well. I want to thank Gene Brewster over at KXO because he's supported this vision too, because he could be playing oldies instead of my show. and he saw the value of it and was willing to do it and provides a lot of behind the scenes support to our show. I want to thank everybody who makes the show possible. Last of all, I want to thank you guys, the listeners, because without listeners, it's not a show. If it falls in the forest and nobody hears it, it didn't make a sound. So you guys listen, you pass it on to your friends, you share it, you talk about it. A lot of you come up and tell me this, and we are very appreciative of that because that's why we're here. That's what we're doing. So thank you very, very much. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Join us this weekend, every week for Your Wellness Radio, and have a great season.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Aravalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.